closing out the study of stress, anxiety, and depression, and I want to say that if this is indeed one of the most important series of studies that I have done, and I believe that it is, as far as the daily Christian life for so many Christians today who are so stressed and depressed about life, America, jobs, we have so many divorces, and so many preachers teach divorce without realizing it. Christians are taught to impeach, to separate, to dump, get rid of, get away from, stay away from, so that when it comes down to marital problems, that's all they know, and they do it in their marriages. And so many Christians, men and women, and unfortunately too many children, I've suffered from all of this. Life is not turning out the way so many Christians had hoped that it would, with their life ending in divorce, with their families in turmoil, and take upon themselves a great deal of stress and depression. Finances in America, to try to keep up with a certain lifestyle, and so many Christians are in stress and depression about that. There's just so many things. But I want to tell you something, at the heart of all of them is you just got the wrong standards by which looking at yourself. And I mean that with all my heart and with all my understanding of Scripture. If you have as your value and you look at your self-worth as far as life turning out the way you thought it should, then you're headed for a lot of trouble. And a lot of Christians are there. We're closing out with one of the most important studies in the most important way. People know who you are in Christ, believe who you are in Christ, live who you are in Christ. And I'm going to add another one. I don't know where it fits in that order. Maybe before you live it, maybe afterward. I don't know. You worry about that. Let me just tell you. Be content. Be content with who you are in Christ. Understand that God doesn't have to change the circumstances of your life. God doesn't have to take you back 5, 10, 15 years, 20 years, or whatever. God doesn't have to change your finances. God doesn't have to change anything in the environment of your life for you to be content. If you'll be content with who you are in Jesus Christ. And that's the key. That's the secret. That's the mystery. And that's what we're closing out with. I want to begin with a word of prayer. Just calm down. If you're listening at this point, you stayed with it this long, working through stress, anxiety, and depression, being satisfied with doing what you are in Jesus Christ. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 14, 24, 34, 44, 64, 74, 84, 94, 104, whatever you are. If you're 114, please write, if you can. But you can be content, if you will be content with who and what you are in Jesus Christ. I want to show you that tonight. Begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's so easy for Christians today for us to get into this deal of understanding ourselves by American standards and not biblical. By American standards, not by those that we find in our relationship with you. So many Christians work, live to work, and then not get what they wanted out of their work, not get what they wanted out of a family entity, out of this and out of that. And so many Christians are depressed and stressed. Father, I pray that, especially these closing hours of the study, will get into their hands to understand the real source of happiness and self-worth. Pray you'll guide me as I teach these things. Give me the words that you would have me to speak. In Christ's name, amen. Now, last week we were off. We did not have class last Wednesday night. That would be the 27th or something like that of August. That night we didn't meet. But the time before when we did meet, we started looking at who we are in Christ. I changed some of that. So I'm going to start, a couple of them are the same, but I want to start over, and we'll start with point one, who you are in Christ. And I'll start with point one, not because it's in a theological order. That's not my point. How y'all doing tonight? Come right on in. I'm so happy to see you. Wow, this is great. Man, my blood's pumped. I'll go for an extra hour. So, we're going to start with point one tonight. And as I said, as far as I'm concerned, what we're getting ready to do, if you're still here and you take these notes, and you work through them, who you are in Christ, know it, believe it, be content with who you are in Christ, and then live it. Point one, and again, as I was just saying, that point one is not necessarily where we might start theologically if I were doing this in theological class in seminary, but I'm talking to you, those of you that are hurt, depressed about your life and about circumstances and about maybe what you've done in the past and this type of thing. Pam, you can't be putting on a sweater. It's still summer. It's a summer sweater. Don't you know a summer sweater when you see a summer sweater? All right, that's good. That's good. People ask me in my house why I even have a refrigerator because the house is so cold. Okay, point one. I want to start here because so many people that are hurting tonight, like Job, where his friends have taken him, where life has taken so many, you just feel so separated from God, as we worded it in our study, that I'm not worthy to be loved and worthy to be punished. But not worthy to be loved, but deserve to be punished. And we have discounted that lie in so many different ways. But I want to start with number one. And point one is that in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to word it so that you'll word it from your perspective, first person, in Jesus Christ, I am not condemned. And don't let any of your friends condemn you. Don't let any preacher tell you that you're a loser. In Christ, you cannot be a loser. Do you hear me? In Christ, you cannot be a loser. Don't let any preacher feed you that stuff. And don't let any friends feed you that stuff. In Christ, I am not condemned. And this is so important for so many Christians to know and to believe that you are not condemned in Jesus Christ. This was one of Job's big problems, the study of Job that we're going to start next on Wednesday night when we finish this series. He was brought to unbearable stress and depression about himself. He was convinced by his three believing friends that he was condemned before God, and that is why all these bad things were happening to him. The same thing happened to Paul when he cried out in Romans chapter 7, O wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this bondage of death? And that's when you're really stressed and depressed in life. Paul here is a believer, yet he senses his own weakness and failures and sins. So, he starts out with the believer's answer that I want to start you with in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. This is where he starts the spirit-filled. Chapter 8 of Romans is one of the three or four top chapters of the spirit-filled life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, crucial chapters dealing with the spirit-filled life. Romans chapter 8. However, look how he starts this, and this is how I want to start your recovery and the ending of stress and depression in your life. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now that you're a believer, no condemnation for those who are in Christ. I am not condemned in Jesus Christ. If you are in Jesus Christ by faith and there is no condemnation for you, please do not listen to those who want to keep you under condemnation by twisting and perverting this passage. You don't want to go there. People, the Holy Spirit will make you aware there is no condemnation if you will walk in Him. Gives you a sense of comfort and assurance of who you are in Christ. Now let's add, remember we did this one 2 weeks ago, but I'm changing the order of some things, but I want to stay with this in number one, but I want to add things to it. I'd like you to, as you're sitting there listening to these things, I'd like you to open your Bibles to John 4 with me. I know you may be at home, maybe you're driving, I hope not. If you're driving, don't open the Bible and start reading the Bible while you're driving. I encourage you not to do that. You'll really be stressed out. But or the drivers might be, maybe not you. But if you look with me at the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. This is you. This is who you are in Christ. You're not under judgment, and don't let people put you under judgment. John 3:18. You might have always, some of you might have known this, even though you're suffering stress and depression, you might have known this passage as it related to giving the gospel to somebody, but let's apply it to us who suffer from stress and depression. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. People, you're not judged. Be who you are in Christ. You're not condemned. Brings us to point two. You're not condemned. And then under point two, in Jesus Christ, I am justified forever. In Jesus Christ, I am justified forever. In Jesus Christ, you are justified now, and you are justified forever. Open that book in front of you, the Bible, to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Paul was not unaware of stress and depression that came from these things, and that's why he cried out, "O wretched man that I am," and various things happened in his life as David, and a lot of great believers had to go there to find this wonderful peace and contentment of what we have and who we are in Christ. People, please, please stop evaluating yourself by the standards of America, by what you think you ought to have, by what your parents have, or what your friends have, or what other people have, and what you don't have, and all these people, these things are related to earth. They're not who and what you are. They are not who and what you are. You're who and what you are in Christ. Point two, you are justified in Christ. Romans 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. I can stop right here to tell you, you are righteous before God in Christ. For there is no distinction, that's between Jew or Gentile. For all have sinned. Jew, Gentile, male, female, rich, poor, any race, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Being justified, look at verse 24 now, being justified as a gift, free gift, by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Do you see any performance on your part here? No. People, you're not justified by your performance. You are freely given this by the grace of God. And the only thing compatible with the grace of God is your faith. You are not justified by your performance, but by the grace gift from God. And this is a pattern established at the cross, and this is the same grace manner that God has for you throughout your whole life. When you sin in your life today, you just go back to faith, and God does it. It's a free gift of God. Look at verse 25. Whom God displayed, Jesus Christ, publicly as a propitiation in his blood. How? By means of faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. People, all your sins, past, present, and future, have been taken care of. You are justified before God. Don't let anyone take it away from you. Look at Romans 5 with me. This is powerful. Justification is not by your doing. This is new. We didn't do this 2 weeks ago. This is you're not justified by your performance. Please get away from Satan's lie. It is not your performance. It is not the opinion of others. 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith. Did you see that? Justified by faith. We have peace with God. That's going to be another one we're going to see. People, you have peace with God. Oh, but I don't feel it. I feel like I'm his enemy. I've sinned. People, your state of existence is you have peace with God. Just claim what is yours by faith. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is yours. This is who you are. Can you find 1 Corinthians? Just keep throwing from Romans and you'll come to 1 Corinthians. 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6. I have so many things that I want to study, but I've been very strongly encouraged to put out a few series of studies, very brief ones, 3 or 4 lessons on different things. Salvation, spirituality, different things, so that we have something that we can hand people. I want to call it a basic series, call it whatever you want, but I'm thinking about doing that. But we'll just see how it goes. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is a power, chapter 2 is so vital. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 6:11. 1 Corinthians 6:11. As such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Both Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you were justified, not by your performance, people, but by faith. So I got a question for you tonight as we clear out this, and I want you to get away from stress, anxiety, and depression. Are you going to believe what God says, or are you going to believe what Satan's lie says? Doggone it, it's that simple. It's that simple, my friend. Which of those do you want to believe? Do you want to believe who you are, what God says, or do you want to believe what Satan says? You want to believe what law says, or you want to believe what grace says? What others say, the false teachers, or what God says? One more. To Titus. Titus, young pastor that studied under Paul. Maybe you're going over to Paul's writings, and you'll come to the books, and you'll come to a brief little epistle, little letter he wrote to a young pastor, Titus. Well, Titus was quite a bulwark. Titus chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 7. That being justified, again noted over and over, by His grace, not your performance. You're not justified by being good. You're not justified by being moral. You're not justified by joining a church. You're not justified by living a consistent life. You're justified as a free gift of God, that being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life, justified by His grace. As an unbeliever, and that's just the pattern for you as a believer. Now I know some of you feel inside, how some of you feel inside about yourselves. And unfortunately, some others may confirm it. I know that I am unworthy. I know that I'm sinful. I know I even have a sin pattern, and it's a terrible one. I know that I am incapable of performing so that I can meet His holy standard. People, that's what this is all about. God in His grace and love and mercy has made a way through His Son. You don't have to perform. And God help those that are trying to perform because they're deceiving themselves. Jesus Christ has announced you. God has announced you and declared you to be righteous. He regards you worthy of salvation, worthy of His love, worthy to be reconciled to Him. This is who you are in Jesus Christ. Now, point three. Third thing. This is beautiful. In Jesus Christ, my old flesh nature has been crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, and I have been raised up as a new creation in Christ. My old nature, flesh nature, has been crucified with Christ, buried with Him, and I am raised up a new creation in Christ. Believe it. I know you may not feel it. You just start believing it. People remember what we have seen. You cannot live consistently differently than what you think of yourself. If you consistently think of yourself as a loser, someone unworthy of love, someone worthy of punishment, that's where you're going to live. And you're living a lie. Because that's not who you are. Just start getting your mindset. Just start thinking in your mind, my old flesh nature has been crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, and I've been raised up a new creation. This one's very important. We spend a great deal of time looking at our flesh nature. Remember the five things about our flesh nature? And it's every one of us. It's true of every one of us. One, it is what? It's continually being corrupted. I don't care who you think is some wonderful Christian. I guess we can talk about it, at least from the public presentation. I don't know anything of the private. But from public presentation, I think we could talk about Billy Graham. But I want you to know Billy Graham's flesh nature was far worse when he died, or he's not dead, but after all these years as a Christian, and was the day he accepted Christ as Savior. Yours, everyone's, it's continually being corrupted. Then we noted that our flesh nature is deceitful above all else. Then we noted it's incurably wounded, incurably sick. Even God isn't going to try to make it better. Full of evil. And the one I love is insane. Now what about that nature? That's not who you are. That nature has been crucified with Christ. God is not making you a better person, and boy, is it just a hard job. Man, God's got his work cut out making me a better person because I'm so bad, and I've reached that point even God can't. See, you got it all wrong. He's not trying to make you a better person. He crucified that other person. And he's raised you up, a whole new person in Christ. That person, that old you, who you were from your mother's womb, with all of his genetic trends of sins and weaknesses, was crucified with Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. Yes, please turn to it. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. I hope that you're home listening to these tapes or on the internet. By the way, I just learned that we've got to reboot our internet connection, and I'll try to do that tonight. Name ran out. I don't know how you people that know the internet will understand all of that, and we'll reboot it tonight, and we'll be back in, and everything will be rolling. But if you're listening, however you're listening, I hope you have a way to get your Bibles open. Romans chapter 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Now, you're going to believe what God says, you're going to believe what Satan says, you're going to believe what your flesh says, you're going to believe what others say. Oh, I still sin, so this must not be true of me. Then what the verse says? Verse doesn't say you won't sin. It says that person's been crucified. You don't have to be enslaved to it anymore. You can have victory over sin. This is powerful stuff. This is powerful. See, what Satan wants to say and what Job's three friends, maybe your friends, oh, I know, they're still in sin and all these type of things, and this isn't you. Are you going to believe them? You're going to believe what God says. This is what God says. That old person is dead. Now, another point is that since you are crucified with Christ, your old nature is crucified with Christ, is dead with Christ, look at verse 8. Now we have died with Christ. We believe that we shall also live with him. That means right now in your Christian life, you're living with Christ. You want to believe what Satan says? You're going to believe what Christ says. That's what God says. You live with him. I know you may not feel right now, but if you'll believe who you are in Christ, walk who you are in Christ, by faith, this will be yours. This is yours. This is yours. Now, look at the verse in between that we skipped. So let's read verses 6, 7, and 8 together in this and see how it flows for you. Knowing that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Who has died? You, your flesh nature. So now you're freed of sin. You don't have to. You're not enslaved to it. Christians like to talk, a lot of Christians, not all, a lot of Christians like to talk about forgiveness, but they don't believe in it. Well, you're not really going to change. Bill Clinton's always going to be the way he is. I don't believe in the power of God changing. It just doesn't really work. People, don't listen to those voices. They're from the darkness. They're from the lies. Listen to what God says, please. Listen to what God says. For he who has died is free of sin, and your flesh nature has died. Now verse 8. Now if we have died with Christ, since we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Right now, you're crucified with Christ, dead with Christ. Now, if you're dead, what's the next thing that's going to happen? Well, burial. I just did my mother's funeral. I did it last Friday. And I stayed around afterward, after everyone, the family and everyone had left. I just wanted to be there as they actually buried, put Mom, the body, the coffin, into the ground. And among a multitude of things, people that went through my mind as I just took one of the chairs and just sat there as the men worked. And in my mind was 100 things. And I want to tell you something, this came to mind. Buried with Christ. It's going down. It's nothing there anymore. Buried. If you understand burial, death, down there, and then buried. Look with me at Romans 6. Right where you are. Now look back at verse 4. Now don't ask me why all of these things are out of order. We're not here to study Romans 6. There's a reason for the way it's all written. But you just stay with what we're looking at tonight. Verse 4, we're buried with Christ. Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. Okay, you get it? You're crucified with Christ, dead with him, buried with Christ. Look at Colossians, one more passage, Colossians 2. We started our old study one New Year's Eve. I don't tell me how long ago. I don't want to know. But one New Year's Eve, not too long ago, we started this in Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, Colossians 2:12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Now, obviously, you can see this is going to be the next stage, but what I want you to see here is buried. So we're crucified with Christ, we're buried with Christ, and now the third thing that happens to you here, raised with Christ. I am raised with Jesus Christ to walk a new life. People's claim was yours. It's yours. And just stressed out and depressed and all, we need to claim what's yours. Now, being raised up with Christ, just look right where you are at Colossians 2:12, in which you also were raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Now, okay, you sinned. You failed maybe in your life, and this has caused you a great deal of stress, anxiety, and depression. How are you going to come out of that? Same way you did as an unbeliever. Let him raise you up in the spirit-filled life right now. And how do you do that? By faith. By faith. Look at Colossians chapter 3 while we're here. Colossians 3:1 while we're right here. Colossians 3:1. Since then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And then we read Romans 6:4. Let me just read it to you again because you just read it a few moments ago. Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism unto death, in order that we might, that as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. We're raised up with Christ. This is who you are. Let me just talk to you a moment. Point three is not just some theological talk. This is you. Make it a reality. Your flesh nature has been crucified with Christ. It is buried. He's not trying to make you a better person. He buried it. He raised you up a new being, a new creation. That's who and what you are in Christ. Know it, believe it, and live it. And be content with who and what you are in Christ. Be content with who and what you are in Christ. This is reality. This is reality. Point four. Stressed, depressed about your life, about the past, maybe about what you think the future holds because of your past, because of sins and failures. I'm going to tell you something. I'm here to give you some good news of the gospel for you. You've been redeemed. In Jesus Christ, I am redeemed. People, that's such good news. Don't let somebody keep you down. Don't keep yourself down. In Jesus Christ, you are redeemed. Or to put it the way we've been doing it, in Jesus Christ, I am redeemed. This is beautiful. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will make this a reality to you of who and what you are. And you allow no one to take it away from you. Let no one, some smooth-talking preacher, take this away from you. Make it as pertinent as I can. I'm going to make this as pertinent as I can in the depressed state that you're in. I want you to think with me a moment. Get your mindset on the cross. Now, what's the cross? The cross is a demonstration of God's love. That's what the cross is. It's a demonstration of God's love. And as you think about the cross, think in three directions of His love. Three directions of His love at the cross. That's what we're going to do now. So let's think about three directions of His love at the cross. Okay. Let's see what three directions we can come up with. First of all, there is a cross work of Christ. There's a cross work of Christ directed toward God. Toward God. There is a direction toward mankind. So this is toward God. Then there's a direction toward all mankind. Now, if we were talking about the work of Christ on the cross directed toward God, God is propitiated. That's a 50-cent word meaning to be satisfied. He is satisfied not with your performance, but with the performance of His Son. Don't try to perform. You can't. God will slap it out of your hands like He did Cain. I don't want yours. Don't want you to perform. And people, that's a wonderful thing. All you need to do is come to Him with empty hands of faith. Then there is the work of the cross toward mankind, toward you personally, and that's reconciliation. We'll take a look at it later. Reconcile with God, not by your performance, but by His doing. But the third direction of His love, the third direction of His love is toward sin. The third direction of His love is toward sin. You are redeemed. No, let's raise it the way you've been doing it. I am redeemed from all my sins. I am redeemed from all my sins, past, present, and future. I know many preachers, false teachers, who try to hold Christians hostages to their sins, bringing in a lot of things, among them stress, anxiety, and depression. Don't let them do it. We have studied how so many Christians who choose to live under Satan's lie, that everyone who fails, sins horribly, that type of thing, is unworthy to be loved and deserves to be punished for their sins. God, get away from that. Get away from that lie. Be free of the lie. Be who you are in Christ. Redeemed from your sins. Don't tell me you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and His work on the cross. Jesus, you're going to turn around. and want to be condemned for your sins. You are redeemed from your sins. Understand that Jesus Christ bore the judgment for your sins. They're no longer an issue. Claim who and what you are in Christ by faith. Okay, let's start a journey. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1:13. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, that is, the forgiveness of sins. Past, present, and future. I know there are a lot of preachers in the fundamentalist movement going around now saying, well, he didn't bear the future sins, he just bore the past sins. And what you got to do with all your present and future sins is to confess or repent or do this or do that. And until you do that, they're not paid for. What heresy. Not only what false teaching people, but what a travesty to the work of our Savior on the cross. Don't let them do it to you. You have received redemption, the forgiveness of sins, past, present, and future. Live under what's yours. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Romans 3:24. Being justified. See, we have the same verses for a lot of this because all this is together. If you just start grasping who and what you are in Christ. Romans 3:24. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption, which is in your performance. Is that what it says? No, you know better. Which is in Christ Jesus. People, you're not justified by you're not redeemed by your performance. Please hear that. Please hear that. Don't listen to other voices. It's not your perfection and your holy life and your being good and your feeling sorry and your confession and your this and your that. People, it's the work of our Savior. Past, present, and future, you are redeemed in Christ, received by faith at the cross and in your Christian life. Let's look at another one. Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption. Do you see that? There's nowhere that it says it's up to you, your performance, or you're doing something. It's him. That's why I try to tell people, faith doesn't save and faith doesn't restore. God does. We receive what he gives by faith. In him we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Can you read? Why do you want to listen to the liars, the false teachers, and people who want to keep you enslaved? Believe what the Bible says. Not by your performance. You are not redeemed because you did not sin. Do not sin. You're not redeemed from your sins by changing the way that you live. That's what most preachers preach. That you have to do something, some kind of penance, some acts of sorrow, just plain stop living for a period of time. You're unworthy to even live. Just go sit in the corner until God, which means us, think that you're ready. We get to choose whether or not you're ready. God, stay away from these false people. They're liars. They're going to pull you down. People, just stay with you and what you are in Christ. Now, before we leave this, you might run into, again, some smooth-talking false teacher who will try to convince you that redemption of sins applies just to the unbeliever, not the believer. False teachers. It will try to tell you now that you believe you've got to do this and do that. Well, let me give you a few things to think about from the study of stress, anxiety, and depression. people. The better the false teacher, the better the lie. The better the lie, the better the false teacher. Now let me tell you what a good lie is. Let me tell you what a best lie is. The best lie is a lie that sounds like what God wants from you. It's what a good lie. If I want to keep you under bondage, and I do not want you to live who you are in Christ, what I've got to do is I've got to come out with a false teaching, but it has to sound right. Secondly, the best lie is a lie that can be found in the Bible. So I'll go to the Bible and show you how you're in bondage to your sins now and how, boy, you're not redeemed just by faith at the cross or even as a believer. And I'll do it very shrewdly. The best lie is a lie that sounds like what God wants. It's found in the Bible. And thirdly, the best lie is a lie that deceives you away from the truth of grace. The best lie is a lie that deceives you away from the truth of grace. In other words, it's going to make it sound like grace, but it's not. It's going to sound like grace, but it's not. Don't do that. Don't listen to these people. Stay with living what you are in Christ. You're going to listen to what God says, you're going to listen to what Satan says. You're going to listen to what God says, or you're going to listen to what the false teacher says. That's up to you. If you listen to what the false teacher says, you're going to stay in depression and stress. If you believe what God says, you'll be liberated. You'll be liberated. That redemption is for the believer as well as the unbeliever. Turn to Psalms. Let's go to our beautiful Psalms. Turn with me to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Okay. Psalm 34, verse 22. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants. That's you, that's believers, not unbelievers, believers. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants. And none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. You're not under condemnation. You take refuge in him. You are redeemed as a believer in Christ. You are his servant. How do you take refuge in him? Just as you did when you were an unbeliever. People, it's a pattern established at the cross. That's why God did it that way, so that we always see all through our life. If you ever want to know how or what, you go back to how you entered the plan. How did you seek refuge in him as an unbeliever? By faith. Keep doing that. Claim who and what you are in Christ and be free. Let me give you another one. Psalm 71. Psalm 71. I love the Psalms. One of the most difficult courses I took in Dallas Theological Seminary was a study under the Book of Psalms by Dr. Walkie, and probably one of the most beneficial. His homework assignments, we met with him twice a week, and his homework assignment took anywhere from 4 to 6 hours per class, if you did it right. Now, you could go to the library and use cheap books, but if you worked your own way through it, it would take anywhere from the minimum was four, the maximum was 6 hours, every class. So that's that'd be 8 to 12 hours every week just doing this. But boy, when you start feeling the Psalms, it's so beautiful. Look with me at Psalm 71, beautiful psalm. Just take a look. It's not our verse, but look at verse 1 of Psalm 71. In thee, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. People, understand. Go to him. Do not live who you are as far as the world is concerned, Satan's lie. Live who you are in Christ. Now look at Psalm 71, verse 22. Psalm 71, verse 22. I will also praise thee with a harp. This is where God desires you to be. You hear me? This is where God desires you to be. Not in stress, anxiety, and depression, but in the happiness of praise. Now maybe you can't play a harp. Maybe you can't play a guitar or a piano. And if you're like me, you can't even play a radio and get it clear unless it's digital. That's not the point. The point is to praise. This is where God wants you to be, not in stress, anxiety, and depression, but in the happiness of praise, people, regardless of the circumstances of your life. And that's possible if you'll be content with doing what you are in Christ. Now, I will also praise thee with the harp, even thy truth. While I like truth, the Hebrew word here is faithfulness. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Even thy faithfulness. The faithfulness of God is why you are restored every time you go to faith from sin. Not because of your performance, but because of His faithfulness. Our faith taps into His faithfulness. Our faith taps into His faithfulness. I will also praise thee with the harp, even thy faithfulness, O my God, relationship. People, maybe you're stressed, anxiety, and depression because of stressed out relationships, husband, wife, parents, children, brothers, sisters, friends, church, work, life. You just have no friends and no associates. Let me tell you something, you have a relationship with God. He's your Father. Oh my God. Then look what he says. To thee I will sing praises with the lyre. O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to thee and my soul which thou hast redeemed. There's your status in Christ. Stop looking at your circumstances. Stop looking at where you are and where you would have liked to have been, how your life has not turned out the way you wanted, or right now it isn't the way you wanted, or things are just getting worse, or whatever, or things happened to you in the past. Stop doing that. Start looking who you are in Christ. Start looking who you are in Christ. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. People, the only way you're going to sing praises to God is if he comes along, raises a magic wand, and straightens out your all the details of your life, straightens out your marriage, your health, problems at work, friends, all these things. Or can you sing praises to him? Because of who and what you are in Christ, without him touching one thing that's going on in your life. Can you do that? That's when you'll be free of stress, anxiety, and depression, when you can do that. The things of this earth just aren't that big of an issue. Now, in closing, I'm going to read to you Titus 2:14. Those of you at home, if you have time, to open it up in your Bibles. Titus 2, verse 14. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. Do you hear that? Every lawless deed, past, present, future, purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. He is a believer. Now, how do you receive that redemption? Just as you did at the cross. By faith. By faith. Okay, we have looked at four things that you are in Christ. That gives you enough to think about this week. Till you get the next tape. Gives you enough to think about. Start working, concentrating, setting your mind on who you are in Christ, not who you are in Satan's lie. Closing the word of God. Wow, what a compassionate God you are, Father. An unbelievable God you are. You've taken Heavenly Father our horrible circumstances and the things that just cause so much stress and depression with people, with things and the bins and this world. And you take us over and you say, hey, look who you are in Christ. Look what I've made you. And Father, I pray we can just get our minds set on that. But just get our minds set on that FM channel that looks at who we are in Christ. And that's all that we see of ourselves. And we walk around with happiness in our soul. Smile on a face and others are looking, saying we don't deserve to be happy. We don't deserve to be smiling. And we're just smiling. And they're so confused by it. as a smiling figure who and what we are in Christ. It's all praise. And Father, we do praise you in your son's precious name. Amen.